sermon text will be taken from the Acts of the Apostle. We're going to read just a few short verses. We're going to read from chapter 2, after the giving of the Holy Spirit, or the day of Pentecost, as we call it. And we're going to read verses 42 through 47. And though I messed up a couple of the young ladies' names from confirmation camp, any of you that have been through confirmation camp should know these verses, because they are the theme verses of every confirmation camp, and we do our morning devotions on them. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42, you can remain seated as I read, in Jesus' name. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them out to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word before us. It is the Acts of the Apostles, Father. We understand it as the church moving forward. We pray that you would sanctify us in this truth, because, Father, we know your word is truth. We ask that you would give each and every one of us a desire to serve and to encourage and to uplift. And, Father, may we be uplifted by your word this day. We ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. This is an ideal text, isn't it? It's a lofty text. Think about it. The Holy Spirit was moving powerfully. People were being added to the church in great numbers. People had a desire not only to hear the Word of God, which we're all here for, so praise God for that, but also they had a desire that others would hear. They had a desire that others would have the opportunity to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that opportunity was so important to them that they dedicated their lives to it. We live in a kind of a different age nowadays, it seems. That we turn in our point of life and we look at the churches and the way it's established. We understand how it's established in our minds. We have a pastor. And if I don't have a great need, or if I don't have a great issue going on in my life, he can mind his own business, he can do his own thing. And then we have board members. And the board members are really to take care of the business of the church, make sure the pastor's being a good boy or a good girl, whatever it may be. As long as there's not confrontation, we're doing well. And then we may have different committees. We might have WMO. We might have a different outreach group here or different outreach group there. We may have different Bible studies. And those are all important. And as long as everything is going along quite well, we're in good shape, aren't we? But what about when we have an issue? You know, I've said something about the ministry. People have asked me, well, what are your church hours? Well, I'm basically here every morning by 9 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Thursday, and I'm here at least till noon, then I go out and do visitation. Very rarely will someone come walking through those doors. But in the ministry, it's not about being there all the time. It's about being there at the right time. If you're not there at the right time, you better watch out. The same issue can be for our board. Do we give a reverence, or do we give an understanding to what it means to be on a board? And do we understand what it means as congregant members to support our board, to pray for our board? Or if nothing's going on, are we okay? the word was moving mightily and powerfully. With the day of Pentecost, it exploded. God's kingdom was being revealed in powerful ways to so many individuals. It says, just even on this day that we're speaking of, 3,000 souls were added. The proclamation is powerful and it is needed. And it is not just up to a pastor. It is not just up to board members. It actually extends out into the congregation where Paul says that we all have gifts. And we have great gifts. We may not all have the same gift, but we all have great gifts. Do you see your potential? These young individuals that came up here, and we prayed for them, and we prayed that God would reveal His will upon them, and that they would be used mightily, and that they would bring Him honor and glory. Do we also see that prayer for ourselves? That no matter where we may sit in the congregation, no matter the position we may hold, that we have a great importance to the body of Christ to reveal the gifts we've been given. How is this done? How do we work with the gifts and how do we continue to promote and to build up the kingdom of God? And they continued without ceasing, steadfastly, in what? The teaching. They continued in the apostles' teaching. And they had fellowship. They had fellowship with one another. And they continued to break bread. In other words, to have this fellowship, that they would commune together, that they would live as a unit together, that they would be in fellowship and in tune. You know, we always take this only as communion. Communion continues through every meal in Christendom, that we would be united. It is a great honor to share a table with individuals and to understand as the body of Christ that we share with one another and that we encourage one another and that we build fellowship continuing. It's not just to come here on a Sunday morning and walk out those doors and say, well, I got to figure it out for that day. Thank you. Tomorrow I'm going to build a house. It's to understand as the ambassadors of Jesus Christ that we are the light of this world, that we are equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit, that in whatever endeavor we're doing, we are joined together, that it is the body of Christ. We have a great example of this in marriage. And I'm the last expert on marriages, last one to be an expert. I'm not the last expert. I shouldn't even think of giving marital advice because I'm such a bonehead at times. But the Scripture talks about two flesh becoming one. That we would in reality make our decisions as a couple and live our lives as one. And that the life that we build together is to encourage and to strengthen and to edify all of us. Both of us. Too many times we look in marriage and we see competition with people. We turn around in this day and age and we speak so highly of saying, well, marriage is really a joint effort where it's 50-50. And then we say, well, no, it's 100-100. Ephesians says it's 100-0. That husbands would love their wife as Christ loved the church. That He would give Himself for her. That no matter what, because the competition comes out, when I turn around and I look at Judith and I say, well, you know, she kind of wasn't the nicest person today. And I don't have to be that nice back. That's not what Scripture says. Too many times we see that competition not just within marriages, but we see it with siblings. or we're worried about what the other sibling is getting and what the other one is not. And they compete. And we see that come into a congregation or into the church, where we're more worried about everybody else and what they're doing than we are actually about building up and edifying the church in what we're doing. They had all things in reality in common. They continued in the teaching. They continued in breaking of bread. And what does it say? They prayed. To understand the power of prayer. To understand the gift of prayer that we have as a body of Christ, as we have as individuals within this body. To understand the great gift that we have, that God hears our petition. As parents, we do it for our children. And I pray for our marriages. But what about our congregation? And our light as a congregation in this world? What about for revealing what gift we may have and how we may serve? And I'm not talking. Our minds have a tendency to run to serving just, you know, out at lefty or this or that. That's not what I'm talking about. To serve God. To know that He has given you a purpose. He has given you life. And He has given you drive. And how can we utilize this to serve Him? How many people do we impact as we meet in the streets? Or in our businesses? Or in our lives? How do we serve God? They were in awe. It says that actually there was a fear that came over them, more of a reverence as you could take it, that because of all the wonders and signs that were done by the apostles, those that God entrusted with His word, miracles were happening. Beautiful things were happening where they were just shocked. You ever experienced that? Where you've seen God operate beyond what you could ever imagine. And that is the power of God. We call it miracles to Him. It's not a miracle to Him. It's normal. It's a miracle to us who are fallen. That is normal. I'm going to give you an experience. You may not like it. That's okay. That I just had recently. And this one blows my mind. So anyways, back in October, I go out to Lefty. It might have been actually a little bit more, probably November. I go out to Lefty. Yeah, Lefty always comes into it, doesn't it? Do you know, in the last storm that we had, like in November, now some of you that don't go out there much, it may not mean much to you, but to you that go out there and utilize it, it'll mean a lot to you. We lost 2 feet of sand on that beach. I've never seen rocks on the Sauna Beach, and it was nothing but rocks. My heart sank. I was like, this is where we enjoy the most. This is what we run into. This is how we entertain so many youth out here, so many different individuals. It was rocks and boulders. I was blown away. In my positiveness, I was like, we might as well just get rid of this place now because there's no beach. We know what it's like to try to run out on rocks and dive in the water. 2 foot. I measured it. 2 foot. There was a step from the sauna. 2 foot down and it was rock. I figured we were done. I was trying to come up with ways of getting sand back there because, you know, I'll outsmart God, right? I talked to a few different guys. They thought I was nuts. Probably am. I talked to other individuals that own lakefront property and they said, it may come back. But it'll take years. Years. Every time I thought of Lefty this winter, I prayed, God, we need our beach back. We need our beach back. But I never can honestly tell you that I prayed with great conviction that I believed it would happen, because I listened to everybody else. I was out there last week, and the beach, in my opinion, is not only back, it looks better. It is full. The sand is covering all the rocks. God saw fit to bless. Now maybe that's too carnal for us. But God is still, as we call it, in the miracle business. Against all odds, against everything else. And the interesting part is, I have a group coming out there tomorrow I have to meet with that rented it for a week. And their first concern was the beach. And I get to show them a beautiful beach. Our God still gives us great grace. But do we pray? And do we lift up everybody in our prayer? I hardly ever swim in that beach. It's not about me so much. But it's about the service. He says, they were amazed at what God was still able to do by the apostles. And all that believed, it says, they were gathered together. They were together in mind, spirit. They were together. And they held all things in common. They saw no division. And then it comes to a very interesting part that we don't generally like to hear. It's hard for me because I'm not really quite willing to get rid of everything yet. But sold all their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. But how? As everyone had need. This is not, wealth redistribution. This says very plainly, they continued to produce, they continued to do whatever else they did. But they took what they had, and they sold it, and they gave it so that others would all have what they had. They had a concern for their brothers and sisters. And it says everybody, it's not partial. It does not say here, one select group decided that they had to take everything away and actually give to everybody else. That's not what this says. It talks about the unity. And the heart of service that each and every one would have as they have needs. Not wants, but needs. Really, it speaks volumes to the understanding of God providing for each and every one that has a need. And this is really what it speaks about. Which one of us would not give to an individual that has a need? Talking with my boys at different times in their life, they've made the statement, and I probably raised them in this individual understanding or in their independence. They've said to me very plainly, well, I don't need to go to church to be saved. You know, that's true. You don't have to go to a congregation to be saved. But I have asked the boys that many times, how do you know the congregation doesn't need you? Why are we so fixated only on what we want? Jesse is so fixated upon what he wants. But when our hearts are in the right place, we have a tendency, or actually I'd say the great ability, to see the needs of other people. It was kind of an interesting thing. I was thinking a little bit this weekend. My wife and I went away for our 27th anniversary. And my wife was trying to get out of the car. And there's like 363 other parking spots around us. Please forgive me, but some older man decided he had to park right next to her. And he didn't care if he made pinstripings down the side of her car. And it didn't matter that her door was opening. He was going to park there whether she liked it or not. And to the younger generation in this room, I apologize to anybody that turns around and says the young do not have respect. Because we find in this world, the more and more we live, it's not just the young that don't have respect. Because back in the day, that man not only would have stopped, he would have got out and opened her door and let her out first. Have we lost sight of respecting and honoring one another? And do we see it's not just about the youth, but in reality, we are not so old that we're entitled to whatever we want. We all need to have this common respect and honor for one another. We need to serve not only the people we love, but the people we don't know. We need to enter into this world and make changes as the apostles themselves made changes by the power of the Holy Spirit in this day and age, where 3,000 souls were transformed because someone served. We have opportunity. We have opportunity to serve here in Hancock, Chassel, potent. Wherever we may be, we do not have to go to Mexico. We don't have to go to Nigeria. We don't have to go to Sri Lanka. We don't have to go to all these other places. I'm not saying it's not important to go. Some have that call. But we can serve right here in this community, in our own families. And we can make sure the needs of those around are being met. And the greatest need that is needed right now is love and compassion to those that do not know Him. That we would have a heart to serve. That we would have a heart to care about those around us. That we would enter into this world as a light. That we would stop examining what everybody else is not doing. And that we in reality would ask, Father, what can I do? How may I serve? Do you guys like the big TV I bought? Back in my day, boy, you couldn't even have a TV. Now I bought a huge one for the church. I'm being sassy, ain't I? Do you know why? Because I can't find individuals that will serve and sing songs for youth at Lefty. I have a couple that have stepped up now, so that's kind of nice. So thank you. But it's difficult to get people to take time out of their days. And maybe it's not our comfort zone. So I got the whole VBS program on video, and we're going to mount that in there so that someone will do all the signs. Because Jesse looks like he's awkward up there. My talent is not that. Somebody must have a talent. I have a dear sister that runs the nursery here. But yet can't find individuals to sign up. There's got to be a good father, a good mother, a good older brother or sister. These are the things that we're talking about. You don't have to make an impact with hundreds of thousands of dollars, $10,000 or $10. What about our time? They had all things in common. They had concern for one another, and they served one another. They made sure what was needed was provided. And I know this is not a popular sermon. But I'm getting to the point where literally I have to pray, I preach what is laid on my heart. Because Jesus Christ served to the last drop. And the hardest thing about this message, we turn around and we look at it, the ones that already serve so hard, will come and apologize. So please don't. You do enough. But what about those that wonder where their place is? I promise you have a place. You have a place. Speak with us. Help us. This is not my church. It is our church. This was not Peter's church. It was Christ's church. And they all had a purpose and a gift, and they brought it to the table. And the whole body was edified. They continued daily. After they provided, they continued daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread, continuing to fellowship, house to house, visitation. That's the pastor's job. Not according to the scripture. I will put my visitation record on the line. I have no problem there. I love to visit. It's not a labor for me. Do I do a good job at it? No. No, I don't. And I'm sorry for that. How do you do? Ouchie. But they continued house to house, praising God. And they had favor with the people. This is the impact that we don't realize. When we fellowship, when we encourage, when we help, when we build up, when we edify, it says, the rest of the world looks at them and says, what do they got? I want that. I want that. Young adults, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do do. And yes, I'm going to be bold. Don't forget us. Step up. Elders, thank you for your service over the years. Thank you for what you have done. You continue to keep these doors open. Keep it up. Whatever you can contribute in time, in prayer, and yes, God forbid that we would say these words in monetary giving. Thank you. What about us middle of the road? We still have great purpose. We have the means more than others. We have time limited, but we have time. May we also seek to serve. I'm not asking you to serve Zion. I'm not even asking that you serve within this congregation. I'm asking that you serve God. Because He has given everything for you. They held all things. They loved. They encouraged. They provided. And they prayed. And the people, they loved them. And it says, and because of that effort, because of that faith, because of the love that was found within that congregation, guess what? God continued to add. May God be honored in this congregation. May we serve. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. 5 minutes a week. May we serve. And if we have a gift or an ability, we've seen some phenomenal people, haven't we? Erica with her flute. That's serving. Doesn't cost her a lot of money. Mark Antiojo leading the worship team for all these years. Serving. Yeah, I'm calling out people. I saw Ella up there singing last week. I was thrilled to see a young individual step forward to sing. That's serving. You can serve too. And as we prayed for these graduates, we pray that wherever they go, whatever they do, they would bring honor and glory to God. We can't put that on their shoulders if we're not willing to receive it ourselves. May God be glorified even through this earthly message. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just